This morning, we're going to look at a rather unusual story in the Bible. It's in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. This is not your normal, everyday Bible passage and sermon that we would read and hear, but there's something important in here for us, I think, to grasp. Back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, this is what it says. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I shall show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.' Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Mishmael and Elzaphan, son of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and said to them, 'Come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary.' So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp, as Moses ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, 'Do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives and all the house of Israel may mourn for those whom the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of the meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you.' So they did as Moses said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of the meeting, or you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, and you must teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses.'" Like I said, friends, this is not your regular Bible passage story that we read to the kids as they're going to bed. Two guys come into the sanctuary and they're burning incense before God, which itself was not very unusual. It was a good thing. It was their religious thing that they would be doing. They were the sons of Aaron, after all. But something went terribly wrong. And instead of God smiling down on them, verse 2 says that fire came out from the presence of God and consumed them. Well, that didn't go exactly as planned. And if that didn't get the people's attention, I don't know what would. I mean, like I said, here are two people, notable people, the sons of Aaron, who, by the way, was the older brother to Moses, and he was the first high priest. And so Aaron's sons were doing what would be expected of them in some way. And Aaron's sons were eager to engage in this religious observance. But before they were done, literally done, well done, fried. So what was the problem? Why did these two sons of Aaron die? And on the surface, it seems like I said, two guys were trying to do something good, but they messed up and lost their lives. Well, we find the answer really in the first verse, because it says, Aaron's sons took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And then it says, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So obviously there was a command there. There were some instructions there that they were to follow, some procedure that they were to follow, some do's and some don'ts, and they didn't adhere to that. They went contrary to the Lord's command. We get a further bit of explanation in verse 10 where it says, you must distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. So it would seem that where they went contrary to the Lord's command is that they were not distinguishing between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. They offered something unauthorized. And while there are many great commentators who have a lot to say about this passage, the gist of the problem was that they failed to distinguish between the ordinary and the holy. And that's what the issue boils down to. They didn't respect the holiness of God. For whatever reason. Maybe they thought they could get away with it. Maybe they just were a little too relaxed. Maybe some suggest that they had too much drink and were not in their right mind. We don't know for sure, but for whatever reason, they thought they could do things their own way instead of following through with God's command. Do you see a pattern there in today's world? Where we often think we can do things our own way instead of following through with God's command. Back in the book of Exodus, before Moses was even given the Ten Commandments, God had made it very clear that those who came to God would have to prepare themselves. In other words, coming into God's presence was never ordinary business. Way back in Exodus chapter 3, you remember the story when God first got the attention of Moses. Moses was seeing this bush that was burning. He went to check it out because it wasn't burning up. It was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And as Moses, in his curiosity, wanted to go and check out this unusual sight, he heard the voice of God, who said to Moses, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." There's a warning there to Moses that you are about to enter into something that is not common. Before God showed up on that mountain by that bush, it was common ground. It was just dirt. The kids could have played in it. They might have made sandcastles or piles of rocks or who knows what. They could have sat there and had a picnic. But when God came and God showed up, the ground that was normally pretty ordinary became something holy, something special. And because of that, Moses had to respond accordingly. He had to respond in line with what he had encountered. And so God said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Why? Because God was there. The recurring theme in many biblical passages, and there are many, is that when something is holy to the Lord, it needs to be treated accordingly. It deserves a certain consideration. And the challenge for us today is that we have a hard time thinking of anything as being special or separated unto the Lord. Our general attitude is more of whatever. You know, everything is equal, everything is common, whatever, doesn't matter. We have a very relaxed attitude in most everything. And I realize these scriptures from Leviticus are very old, and I realize that they were written to a specific people to deal with specific circumstances. I understand that. I understand that we are not the sons of Aaron. But there's a principle here that I believe is important to us today and is often lost today. And that is that God's presence, God's holiness, demands a certain respect. Now, I realize that God is everywhere, and He is. And so you could say, well, you know, what's so special about, you know, that burning bush. I mean, wasn't God everywhere? Well, yes, God is everywhere, just as he was in Moses' time, but there was still something special about that burning bush and the presence of God at that burning bush. There was still something special about climbing up Mount Sinai, that there were instructions to the people not to just go waltzing up there. There's something special about the temple. There's something different about the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't just a box that you can just, you know, take and manipulate and carry off and do whatever you want with it. You couldn't just waltz into the Holy of Holies and have your afternoon tea party there. People in 2 Samuel chapter 6 found out that you can't just grab the Ark of the Covenant, even if it's for a good reason, to keep it from falling over. There were boundaries. And what's on my heart today is that I think in our effort to make God so down to earth and accessible, so much maybe like the friendly giant, you know? Okay, I'm aging myself here, right? The younger people won't know the friendly giant, but us older folks will, you know? Like, you know, just this nice, big, soft guy in the sky. I believe we've lost sight of some of the healthy boundaries that we also need to respect. Psalm 111, verse 10 reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a fear of God doesn't mean that, you know, we need to be trembling in our boots. It means that we have a sense of reverence and awe in the presence of God. It means that we understand and respect the holiness of God. 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a lot of commotion in town. As you remember, Prince William and Kate were here. And I know it didn't happen, but if it happened that they, for whatever reason, came and knocked on your door, just pretend they came, knocked on your door, you know, 8 o'clock at night and asked to come in for tea, you know, would you entertain them in your PJs or sweatpants? You know, some of you might, but most people would think, yo, man, I better get changed here, you know, or I better get my best out or do something differently here. And you look for something suitable for a royal visit. And it's all good and well, and it is true that God is our Heavenly Father and we are his children, and children, you know, don't need to worry about how they come to the Father. I mean, you know, you just come and the Father loves you, and I understand that. I appreciate the fact that God allows us to come to him without formality. You don't have to put on a tie to worship the Lord. But what I'm wondering is if we've gone a little too casual with God. Like he's God. And I'm wondering if maybe the principle in Leviticus chapter 10 might apply to us, where we've taken the holy and made it common. And I understand that it's easy for us to go to extremes. We tend to be people, you know, we either go to one extreme where, you know, you can't do anything, or the other extreme where you can do anything. Doesn't matter what you do. And I guess what I'm trying to suggest is, you know, going to church, worshiping the Lord, coming into his presence is not the same as going to the ball game. Even in our courtrooms, there's a certain reverence, a certain protocol, a certain expectation. You don't just waltz in and out of the courtroom, you know, and the judge is in session. In fact, I've been in several courtrooms, and people, when they come or leave while the judge is there, they often bow. They often pay a respect to the judge before they leave or when they come in. It's not just a leisurely thing. And that's in a secular courtroom. You don't, you know, if you leave your cell phone on in the courtroom and it starts ringing, and the judge is going to have words with you, especially if you start answering it and chatting with somebody in the middle of his business. And I'm not suggesting that we need to go to extremes. I'm not suggesting that we bring back ushers, you know, many years ago, many, many, many years ago, before my time, before my many generations now, there would be ushers in the church with long poles. And if somebody was nodding or being disruptive or something else, they would come with a long pole and then they'd whack you one on the shoulder or wherever and get your attention and get you to straighten up there, you know. And I'm not suggesting we need to go to that kind of thing, but neither should we be so casual as to think that, you know, it's like a coffee shop. Come in and going and come in and going and that kind of thing. This is the presence of God we're in. He is here. We sing about it often. This is holy ground. And it is. And if God is here, and I believe he is, and if this is holy ground, then it's no longer common. And again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we need a dress code or if your cell phone rings that you should get struck by lightning or something like that. But there needs to be some boundaries. And there needs to be some balance. We need to avoid the extremes of legalism. That's true. Because legalism will never save us or help us. But neither can we take the holy and make it common. And, you know, for me, I think of these altars here as an example. Beautiful altars. Many, many years ago, somebody put them together and took care of it, sanded it, varnished it, and it has become our place of prayer. That same wood that is our altar could have become firewood, and it would have long ago been burned up and been done with. But that's not what happened to it. It became our place of prayer. It became a special place, a place where many of us, myself included, have done business with God. And so the altar, even though it's just a piece of wood, isn't just a piece of wood. And so we teach our kids not to sit on it and treat it like a park bench. We need to extend some respect to the place of God, the place of business with God. And the same with our sanctuary. It's a place of respect, not just on Sunday, all through the week. And so I remember when our kids were in high school, we went to many band concerts. Those of you who have kids in high school or are about to get kids in high school will know exactly what I'm talking about. If they're in band, there's many band concerts. And it always struck me that they gave you a program and they actually instructed the adults on how to conduct themselves at a band concert. I found that really interesting. This is what they said, and this is verbatim, I'm quoting it. It said, "While the performance is in progress, remain seated and quiet. If it becomes necessary to leave the auditorium, please do so between musical selections." Then it said, "Please stay for the whole show, less than 90 minutes in total. All performers deserve a full audience for their performances. Listening to other or better players is a big part of each student's music education." 3, it said, "Remove your hat so that the people behind you can see easily. If you have outside clothes on with you, remove them prior to the start of the show to restrict noise, movement, and distractions. 4, if very young children become restless and disrupt others' ability to listen, please take them from the auditorium until they are quiet." 5 trips to the bathroom to get drink, etc., should be made prior to the start of the show or at an intermission. 6 if you enjoy what you see and hear, please clap enthusiastically. At no time is yelling nor whistling acceptable at a formal concert. And then the last thing it said is, please turn pagers, cell phones, and watch alarms off. Well, friends, that's a secular concert. That's a common ground. There is nothing spectacularly holy about a band concert. They're great, don't get me wrong. They are great things to go to. But that is a common, ordinary event. And there is a certain expectation of a certain protocol, a certain respect to offer in such a place. And I'm not here to say to you or anybody, you know, what you have to do and all that kind of stuff, but it just strikes me that in a secular place, there is a certain protocol, a certain call to respect the place. And I just wonder if in the church, we haven't gone a little too far in the opposite direction. I know that God is a loving God. I know that God calls us to come to Him no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we are, no matter what we're like. He is the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd goes and looks for the sheep, the lost sheep, and when he finds him, he brings him back and he rejoices. And God invites us to come to him. We don't have to dress up to come to him. We don't have to this. We don't have to that. He is a friend. I understand that. He's our Father. I understand that. He died for our sins to set us free. That's awesome. That is good. But I just want to encourage us in the process of celebrating his love for us, that we not lose sight of the fact that he is still holy, and that we govern ourselves with a holy respect for him. Something to think about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know exactly how you would have us to respond to a message like this morning, but I do pray, Father God, that you would just search each of our own hearts and help us, Lord, to find that right place between, we don't want legalism for sure, but neither do we want to be so casual that we lose sight of the holiness of God and the sanctity of your presence. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just guide us, each one of us, in our own heart and mind, is how to come, how to worship, how to give to you the reverence that is due to you. We pray that you would guide us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.